It's the Infectious Groove Podcast, part of the Odd Pods Media Network, recorded from Detroit, Michigan and Jacksonville, Florida. The Infectious Groove Podcast is your source for jammy jams, album reviews, and the best in-depth music discussion. Thanks for joining us. Now here are your hosts.
Like the nice lady says at the intro, yes, in fact, it is the Infectious Groove Podcast. Not only that, but it's our season premiere. Not only that, but it's the season 8 premiere. Not only that, but it's the season premiere for our last season. Everyone thank Michelle for this being the last season, because this is totally her fault. This was not anything I had anything to do with. I have to tell you, Michelle, that my absolute favorite thing is that whenever I say something to you or acknowledge it, you make a gesture or you move around on your camera as if people can hear that.
Yeah. They should just know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
They should have a feeling. Yeah. They should be connected in brain.
Oh, you give people feelings, all right. We're gonna get into that in feedback.
Weird feelings?
Well, we'll get into it. Having said that, we are not alone.
That's not my fault.
What's not your fault?
That the show's ending.
This only happens about once every 10 episodes, but you've truly confused me. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
You said this was my fault that the show was ending, and it's not my fault.
Okay. Have we met previously? Do you know that I speak in sarcasm a lot? Or are you unfamiliar?
I think that I'm familiar. I think that maybe other people aren't.
So you think that 160 some episodes in, people might not know when I'm being sarcastic and when I'm not.
Maybe this is their first episode.
Michelle and I are not alone on this episode for the Infectious Groove Podcast Season 8 premiere. We have brought along with us for the ride our good friend, longtime supporter, and fellow Odd Pods Media member. It is Garrett of the Ever Trending Story Podcast. And Garrett, I have gone on this show about how much I love your podcast and what a unique concept I think that it is. However, I'm going to give you a moment to tell everybody why you think what you do is awesome and why everybody should tune in.
All right. Yeah. So what we do on the Ever Trending Story Podcast is we, myself and my co-host Frankie, we peruse the news and look for trending topics, news, articles, things of that nature. And we take keywords out of those. And then what we do is we spin a genre wheel, and then we write a story using those keywords under the genre that we've spun. And it's a good old time for everybody. We make something fun and fictional, and they're pretty short. So it's not like you have to, sit through, hours and hours of stories. Mm-hmm. And, we just have a good time with it. So
the biggest compliment I can pay your show, and it comes in twofold for the same thing, is one, I was scared to death to go on your show because I have not one creative bone in my body. It's why I've never written a song in my life, but I played in like cover bands, I just don't mm-hmm. have a creative bone. Right. So I was scared to death to go on there. And when I actually got on your show, I had so much fun, like writing the story and relaying it and having fun with you guys, like talking through the story, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big endorsement that I can give you. And then on top of that, my fiance, who for a living teaches writing, gave me the verbal equivalent of patting a dog on the head when she heard the episode. And she was like, oh, that's good. You did it creative.
You did it.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's two ringing endorsements that I can give your show. So, and we always go, where can we find you? You can find Garrett's show anywhere. All you got to do is search Ever Trending Story Podcast. Ever Trending is one word though, right?
Yes, correct. Okay. One word.
Ever Trending Story Podcast. Search for that. And if nothing else, almost every show out there is like what you're about to hear from us. It's a couple of longtime friends sitting around talking about music or movies or whatever else. And I love that not only is Garrett's show not that, but they've taken what seemingly every day becomes more and more depressing, which is the news, mm-hmm. and found a way to put like a new spin on it, or to where you can at least laugh or forget the absurdity of the real story. So
yeah, that was kind of the basis behind it. It's like, the news sucks, so let's make it fun.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And like I say, I don't view myself as a creative person at all, and I had a riot on their show, and of course listening to it as well. So having said that, Garrett is going to sit in with us here and do what we do. And this episode that you are on here again is the season premiere. We have this is one of 15 more episodes of the Infectious Groove Podcast coming. The main topic we're going to talk through today is one that I don't know why, but I wanted to do this topic like back when we started the show, and we just never got around to it somehow. And just talking about like mixtapes and mixed CDs and you know, your history with them, if you've made them for someone, if you've had someone made them for you, and what they mean and that type of thing. So we will get to that in the second half of the podcast. Before we get there, we've got some feedback from our last couple of episodes to share.
Feedback, Joe.
Don't worry about that. Right. There's rock and roll be without feedback.
I know we don't have a news section anymore, but my God, that I almost changed that drop for this season because holy cow, the stuff going on with Pink Floyd this week is outrageous. You wouldn't think 80-year-old men could cause more drama, but they sure did. Holy crap.
How so?
The short version is David Gilmour's wife tweeted calling Roger Waters anti-Semitic and a megalomaniac and all these other things. And then David Gilmour retweeted it and said, every word of this is demonstrably true. And then Roger Waters retweeted it and said he was contacting his lawyers over what he can do. And then today, Roger Waters announced that he re-recorded the entire Dark Side of the Moon, is really releasing that soon because the whole thing was him anyways. Yeah, it's been a week. If you're a Pink Floyd fan, it's been a week.
Jeez.
Wow. So, yeah, it's what I said to Lauren when I heard the story is, you know, these are 80-year-old men acting like high school students.
Yeah, exactly.
Your girlfriend said something about me. I told everyone else. And then this person said, well, I heard what they said. And so I'm going to do, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You guys are 80.
It's 80-year-old high school students with a lot of money.
Yeah. And that's worse. So anyways, having said that, that's why I literally was like, crap, I might have to make a new drop just for the last damn season. Our friends over at the Docking Bay podcast wrote in immediately after hearing our last episode and said, OMFG, really? I'm at a loss. You guys do you, but I, for one, am totally bummed. I assume he means that he's bummed that the show is going away, not just that, you know, something Michelle said. I'm assuming it's that the show's going away.
Obvi.
Our friend Seth writes in and says, am I the only one that's sad to hear that the upcoming season is the last? I sure hope it isn't. But I totally understand the struggle. Our friend Dean over in the UK writes in and says, the work you guys put in to give regular content every week is phenomenal. It's dropping a new episode every now and then instead of doing a new episode every week frees up a lot of time and stress for you guys. Then I'm all for it, and it's definitely understandable. Thank you for everything you do to entertain us. I'll miss the weekly episodes, but there is more than enough to fill my boots with the stuff you guys have already put out. Dave from Beer in Front over here on the Odd Pods Media Network writes in and says, I just heard a Carpenter song and that reminded me. Did Michelle say this week that Karen Carpenter's voice is just all right? Hashtag Michelle was awesome.
Uh-oh.
Michelle, you have what we say in the biz, effed up. Now,
I did?
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback about you saying Karen Carpenter's voice was just all right. And we keep our show positive. I'm not kidding you. I deleted like 10 tweets in the last week because they had like F words and whatnot. Michelle, do you have any comment? Would you like to respond to anyone who used harsh language and playful language?
No, I'm
going
out with a bang. No, I don't. I stand by what I said. Her voice is just okay.
That's
come at me.
Okay. I was waiting for the Barry Gibb Talk Show version where I like lay the whole thing out and you're like, no, don't.
Missed opportunity.
Our friends Sean and Chris write in and say, congrats on getting to the 3-year mark. That is not an easy milestone to reach. You and then they followed up with this is great. Wait a minute, you announced the next season is the final season and it seems like just now Michelle is starting to remember things. Hashtag Michelle is awesome.
That's why I can't, it won't be funny anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So now you're going to let
off. I got to get out while the getting's good.
That's fair. Our friends at the Introx actually wrote in because on Twitter about a comment about the Pearl Jam video that we put out today. I put out a video on 5 hidden gems from the band Pearl Jam. And they wrote in and were talking about how I put the song Wishlist on that list. And they were like, I don't know if that should be on the list because it was a single. And I said, yeah, it's a single, but I think more people should know it. So like, I think it belongs on the list. So they gave us a topic to cover, like start a new series on our YouTube channel. And Michelle, you know this. We've had this conversation a million times where I always go, this song should have been a single off of this album, or like this song shouldn't have been a single. So they gave me the suggestion of doing that for a YouTube series. So I'm thinking about doing
that. Get off
that.
My lawn. That's what you sound like.
No. Okay. Let me put it this way. Hold on. Let me give you a perfect example. Name, and you can do this. This isn't me going, name three songs. Name three songs off of Thriller.
Thriller.
Thriller, right? Okay, that's fine. One. Name two more. You can do this.
Billie Jean?
Yep. You can do this. If I was going into a fight situation, you would ask me if I want to
start something.
Yeah. Okay.
Is the way you make me feel on that?
Nope. That's on bad. So, okay, well, so back,
I didn't
so,
say that for my
so,
third one.
So back to the largest selling album of all time, where you successfully, without any help, named three songs off of it. The lead
and
single.
I also listened to it for the show.
Correct. And also you reviewed it for the show.
Okay, go on.
The lead single off of that record was not Want to Be Starting Something, Beat It, Billie Jean, Human Nature, or PYT. The lead single off of that record was The Girl Is Mine. Come on now. That's ridiculous. So that's not me telling people to get off of your lawn. That's a poor choice in
general.
You
sound like an old man.
Good Lord.
But if you ask anybody off the street what the lead single off the Thriller was, they're not going to know.
Yeah, because the way better songs came out afterwards. It's like, how was Pour Some Sugar on Me the fifth single off of Hysteria? How did you get it wrong four times before you released Pour Some Sugar on Me off of Hysteria?
Because Def Leppard is not that great.
If you would like to get in on leaving us feedback, we have all sorts of ways to do it. You can find us on feedback on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can go right to Michelle's house. And you have 14 more episodes after this to get in anything you've ever wanted to say to all of us. So make sure to leave us some feedback on any of the things that have been said on this episode or anything prior. And we will be more than happy to read your feedback on the air. Moving right along, our jammies. A tradition that was started about a season and a half ago, I have to go first on Jammy Jams because sometimes we get in such a discussion that I forget to go first or to get to go at all. I have one that will surprise, I believe, both of you and probably most listeners. And then I have one that I don't think will surprise anybody, but it's been something an artist I haven't brought up in a long time. So this past week, two different people that I know that don't know each other randomly texted me and said, dude, you have got to hear this album. And both of them sent me it in the body of their text, said something to the effect of, you're the first person I thought of when I heard this album. And it was an artist I had never heard of. It's an artist called Lil Yachty, and his record is called Let's Start Here. And
I think it's Lil.
What did I say?
Little.
Oh. You know what my favorite use of that, by the way, is? Since I don't care about structure anymore since we're in the last season. You know what my favorite use of that is? Is when Leslie Knope is speaking at Lil Sebastian's memorial, and she's like, Lil Sebastian was more than just Lil. Great. Lil Yachty, and this record is crazy. Like, I get why people told me to listen to it. Like, I'm not kidding you. Everything I'm about to say is accurate. It sounds like rap, old school R&B, Pink Floyd, and like 80s Prince all got together.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a crazy record. It's a crazy record. I don't even know if I like it as much as I these people that suggested it to me thought that I would. It's just so wild that I'm like, okay. Like, I keep listening to it because it's so wild. So
the only thing I know about Lil Yachty is he used to have a body wash.
Okay. Also, you said little.
Lil Yachty.
Yeah. He had a body wash, you say?
Kyle used to buy it, and he would say it was Lil Yachty on my body.
That sounds like something Kyle would say. Well, please share with Kyle that I was listening to Lil Yachty.
You're unsure about your feelings.
Correct. Well, no, I think I like it. I'm just not entirely sure yet. It's you go play a song or two from the album. The album's called Let's Start Here. Like, don't go.
Did it just come out?
Yeah, it's like a week and a half old or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll like it at all, Michelle. But like Garrett, you like some out there stuff, don't you, Garrett? Like, you like when people experiment and try to.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, then I'm telling both of you to check this record out. I'm assuming Garrett will like it. I'm assuming Michelle will not.
You're just assuming that I'll remember to do it when we get off of here.
Right.
Right now.
Right on. And so the other artist whom I haven't spoken about on the show in quite some time, and this comes from Twitter. I just saw someone else say they were listening to this album, and I was like, my God, what a record. Is that somebody the other day on Twitter said they were listening to Sam Cooke live at the Harlem Square Club. And that show is so gosh darn good. Pardon my language. And there's a much more famous Sam Cooke record out there that people know about, which is Sam Cooke Live at the Copacabana. And for years, I listened to Sam Live at the Copa because that's the one everybody knew about. And it's a great show. But like somewhere along the line, somebody turned me on to it. They were like, dude, if you like that, you got to hear Sam at the Harlem Square Club. And the show at the Harlem Square Club is like, the energy level is through the roof. Like, it's just absolutely like, it's the same set list and everything, but Sam and the band are like, you know, just a wild mood. And I had my friend Julius back in Detroit. We were listening to both of them one night. And I was like, I don't understand like what the difference is here. And he told me flat out what it is the Copa is in like New York and Harlem is in Harlem. So the crowd at the Harlem show are African-Americans who like know this music better. And they absolutely went there to like be a part of the show and like really let the music take them over. Whereas the Copa show is like a bunch of rich people who like paid to be like, yes, just play the music now. So that's why like the difference in the, you know, same set
list. The vibe is different.
It's completely different. So we'll put some songs from the Harlem Square Club on the playlist because it's so good. It's so good. It's one of those things that make you be like, wow, we really did lose a lot when we lost Sam Cooke so early. So anyway, so things, a couple things from totally different decades that, completely different music for me. I know, Michelle, you're always way over prepared for Jammy Jams, but if you don't mind, I'm going to go to Garrett first and have him share his with us. Garrett, what have you been listening to?
Oh, I've been checking out the new Fall Out Boy singles that they released. I've been a fan of them since Fall Ya Do came out, and their last, I think, full album Mania wasn't my cup of tea necessarily, but I'm really excited with the where they're going with these two new ones that they released. It's kind of back to their old sound.
Okay, that's what I was just going to ask. You answered my question, but I was going to ask, is it like different, but in a good way, but they're going back to, do you think that's by design that they're like, let's just do the thing people like?
I think so. I just feel like Mania wasn't received quite as well because it was a very out there record for them. And I mean, I started listening with Fall Ya Do, and then I went back to their older stuff and, you know, really fell in love with them as a band. And it's not quite as emo as it was before, like the way that they sounded before, but it's close. I enjoy it a lot. So
right,
excited to see this new album when it actually drops.
And they do. I'm adjacent to Fall Out Boy at best. Have they said there is a full record coming, or are they just dropping singles for now?
Yeah, no, there's a full album and a tour with it too. So
right on. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. What else has you been turning the knobs on?
I recently was on Beard Owl podcast with Lauren, and ever since then I've just been like going back through Weird Al's discography and just finding whatever random songs. The ones I'm really hooked on right now are Hardware Store and Trapped in the Drive-Thru. Just two completely just random songs, but I love both of them so much.
First, two Lauren related things about Weird Al. Number one, you really haven't lived until you've been in the car and Hardware Store comes on random and Lauren pretty much at the top of her lungs does the entire song verbatim while she's driving.
Does she do the fast part too?
Oh yeah. Oh god, yeah. You do.
That's awesome.
The other thing is, and Lauren and I have had this argument, Trapped in the Drive-Thru, I don't hate, but I don't love. And the reason why is because the original is so damn dumb that like it's almost hard for me to look at a parody of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, yeah. Let me give you an example. I think one of the most underrated Weird Al parodies is his parody of Usher Confessions, because Usher had Confessions 1 and 2 and Weird Al has part 3. And
Okay.
And Confessions 1 and 2 is like an average breakup song where it's a guy realistically being like, hey, here's all the things I did wrong, right? And then Weird Al takes it so much further in part 3 and just starts listing off all of these crazy things that he did wrong that he still has to apologize for.
Yeah.
But like Trapped in the Closet is so damn dumb to begin with that I can't even, like, I don't know. Like it's like, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's ridiculous. Those lyrics Weird Al are saying, but so is the original. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I honestly have never heard the original. I feel like I should just to see the inspiration, but
you lead a blessed life. And no, don't. Do not ever. Michelle, do you remember when we worked at Media Play and that song used to play like 10 times a day?
I try not to think about that.
Garrett, just know I'm not kidding. Like, don't, please don't listen to the original. Okay. It's literally barely more serious than Weird Al's. And I know the lyrics of Weird Al's when I say that.
Okay.
So having said that, you've got Weird Al and Fall Out Boy. Was there anything else you're listening to? That's kind of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I started a whole workout trend at the beginning of the month. I've just been hitting every day. So I've just got a random, you know, list of heavy stuff, some rap. A couple examples are like King's Dead from Kendrick from the Black Panther album. That song's great. All Out Life from Slipknot, you know, just heavy things that just get your blood pumping and just go. So I'll send a couple different ones for the Spotify playlist for you.
Right on. I'm like, I think 7 or 8 months into regularly going to the gym now, like when my health allows, unfortunately, over the last month. Mm-hmm. But I keep meaning to buy like earbuds for the gym because living in Florida now, all they ever have on the TVs at the gym that I go to is Fox News. Like literally on all the TVs, but it's muted though. So what I do when I'm like lifting or I'm on the treadmill is it's muted. So I just like make up what they're saying in my head, you know?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Like so, they have reading subtitles? Thing.
So no, they don't, Michelle. They have the thing where you're supposed to tune your thing to like whatever frequency to hear it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Anyways, okay. So plenty of workout stuff. You mentioned a couple of titles. We'll put those on the playlist, those Weird Al songs. I'm going to tell you in advance, only Hardware Store is going on our playlist.
That's totally fine. I get that.
I refuse to give even one more click on Trapped in the Drive-Thru. And then some of the latest Fall Out Boy singles, which, Michelle, do you have an opinion on those? Have you heard the latest Fall Out Boy stuff?
I have not. I fell off Fall Out Boy several records back.
Right.
I don't know. They
Oh, so they're in the same category as Karen Carpenter.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay.
Oh, Patrick Stump's voice is better than Karen.
Please don't complete that sentence.
I mean, what?
Michelle, what are you?
Part of the last season.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the last season of the Infectious Group podcast.
I'm going down in flames.
By last season, by the way, I keep laboring this point. We're supposed to have 15 episodes unless someone takes us out beforehand. Michelle, what are your jammy jams? What have you been listening to?
Well, since we've been on break, I've been really into, I hope you're sitting down, but more pop punk. I don't know why. I just can't get off it. I can't quit it.
And you've been that way for the whole 20 years I've known you. So
I know, but like, I don't, it's just, it's a renaissance, if you will.
I'm
getting away from the folky, shit.
All right.
And I'm just getting back into pop punk. So just a few, some Sugar Cult, Bouncing Off the Walls. Let's see. I Woke Up in the Car by Something Corporate. A Little Dash War Confessional is always good in there. Mercy Me by Alkaline Trio. A little bit of Used, Rise Against, stuff like that.
So, oh, the Used. I haven't heard that name in a while. Like,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
We were at a bar in Detroit before we went to a Wings game, and they actually played an old Used song, and I was like, what the fuck year is it? It was like packed of people and everyone was like getting down. It was pretty awesome though.
That's pretty rad. So it was just a bunch of old people like yourself.
Fuck off.
Fantastic. As I said, the playlist we have every single week, we always fill it with songs from our Jammy Jams. So we will do that this week. And it sounds like it's going to be a wild one. There's going to be a lot of different diversity on there, which we always try and do. And so you can follow that on Spotify. I don't know. After the show ends, I might keep that up with stuff maybe that's on our YouTube channel for the week, because over at YouTube/InfectiousGroupMusic, we have 4 videos a week, and those are always really varied in artists. So maybe I'll keep that up afterwards. Not sure. We'll see on that, I guess. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to have Garrett join us in our discussion about mixed CDs and mixed tapes and our personal history with them and that type of thing. So that should be a fun discussion. We'll be back in just a minute. We've got a couple of promos going to play. You are listening to the Infectious Group podcast on the Odd Pods Media Network.
Hey, it's Dalton.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Sam.
We want to tell you about Big Ten Plus 4.
Do you want to hear football talk that doesn't only talk about the SEC?
Are you tired of always hearing about how the Big Ten doesn't perform in the big dance?
Then we're the show for you.
You can catch us each week live on the ASAP network.
And later that day on Odd Pods Media, we bring you college sports with a Big Ten flavor.
Big Ten Plus 4.
College sports with Midwest perspective,
blue collar, and blue blood. Hey, I'm Pantsless Aaron.
This is Stevie.
And I'm Augie.
And we are BFYTW, a podcast all about playing games and having fun. Our games are usually based on British panel shows and game shows, but we'll play anything that captures our attention and imagination. Why? It's right there in the title.
You'll never guess what the F stands for.
We are back. It's Russ and Michelle kicking off the last season of the Infectious Groove podcast. And along with us for the ride is our good friend Garrett, not only of Odd Pods Media, but of his own great podcast, the Ever Trending Story podcast. And this for me is a big topic because I have a long history with mixtapes and CDs and, in short, trying to force other people to listen to the music I want them to listen to. So that's kind of how I've done the whole mix CD and mix tape thing. So I'm going to start with Michelle on this because I think that your answer to this might be interesting because we're going to get into kind of the I think because of your answer, we're going to get into the definition of what a mixtape or CD is. So have you ever made a mixed tape or a mixed CD for someone?
Yes,
you have.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of surprised at that. Wow. I do not envision you to have ever
watch yourself
cared about someone else enough to put the time and energy into putting together songs on a tape or a CD.
It was a CD.
Well, okay, then that's less effort than a mixtape. Because with a mixtape, you have to listen to the whole damn song and then put like pauses in between and everything. With a mix CD, you can just drop them all where you want them.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as old as you, right?
I do. I'm aware. Yeah, you have heard of cassettes, though.
I have heard of them. I'm pretty sure I was going through my stuff that my mom gave me, and there was a mixed tape that someone had given me in there, like an actual cassette tape. And it was just from a friend. It wasn't like a romantic partner.
You just turned around and completely invalidated your own joke about my age.
I was saying that, I can envision the cassette tape, like with the handwriting on there, but I could be wrong about that. But I definitely have made a mixed CD for people.
That's what we get into, is the why. Was this a romantic interest type thing, or was this a we're just really good friends, or was it the reason I've almost every mix CD or tape I've ever made is you should be listening to this music?
So it was before the age of streaming, and it was now if I hear a song that makes me think about somebody, I'll just send it to them. So this was just a compilation of songs that made me think about another person, and it was a romantic CD.
A hopefully romantic interest is what you're saying. Because a lot of times that's what, like, for example, and Garrett, tell me if I'm wrong on this too. I want to get you in on this. Is that the assumption usually that if you are going through the effort of making a mixed CD or a mixed tape for someone, that it must be a romantic thing?
I feel like that's the reasoning behind it, but I mean, I've definitely done it for other reasons as well. I think that's the general consensus with it.
Yeah. See, okay. You know that scene in Pulp Fiction where Travolta and Samuel Jackson are talking about how the one guy got thrown out of a window for giving Marcellus Wallace's wife a foot massage, and then they argue over whether or not like a guy should do that for somebody else's wife, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how I was treated any time that I ever made a mix CD for a female, like ever. And it would I would literally have dudes come up to me in school and be like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm not hitting on your old lady. I just really wanted to listen to Pink Floyd and Run DMC at the same time. You know, like
jeez.
Yeah. I'm saying that like I'm wrong, right? Like that is usually the intent. Mm-hmm.
I feel like more often than not, it's the intent. But yeah. I do. You've also given me a mixed CD of Black Crowes music because you really wanted me to get into the Black Crowes. And
I was trying to do you a favor and get you prepared for the one Black Crowes concert you ever went to.
How'd that go?
Well, it's the last season. We'll just tell everybody. You and I didn't talk to each other for like a month after that. Why didn't we talk to each other for a month after that, Michelle?
Because you didn't like the way I was listening.
You weren't listening. You were buried in your phone through the entire show.
My ears still work when my thumbs are moving.
Right. Your ears don't even work on this show when you're looking at me the whole damn time.
I don't know. Kyle has the same complaints about me. I don't know what to tell
crazy.
You.
But yeah, all cards on the table. I prepared Michelle for like a month to go see the Black Crowes. I put like a good mix of songs that they were doing because their set list changes every night. Got her all prepared for the show. And then this woman must have sent, if it's probably the most text messages any person's ever sent in one sitting. And yeah, we literally didn't.
I think I ruined his time.
I think we were still living together at the time, and I don't think we talked for like a month.
Dang.
I don't remember, but sounds correct.
You're like, well, if it was important, I would remember. It wasn't. Yeah, so
I waited for you to apologize.
Are you still on hold?
I'm still waiting.
I was going to say. So, Garrett, you kind of answered this to a little to a certain extent. I would assume your answer is then yes, that you have made a mixed CD or a mixtape for someone.
Yeah, I've done both. I'm with Michelle. I didn't really have access to make tapes, mixtapes, but I did have a computer and internet with Kazaa and Napster, and I was a CD making fiend back then. Right. I now look back and I really regret doing that because of what it does to the music industry, especially with streaming now. But you know, it was just the Wild West. It's like you just type in a thing and. Things pop up and you know, part of the problem was actually searching through those songs to make sure you had a good copy of it, because nothing sucked more than making a CD and then getting to like track 8 and halfway through that track there's like some audio garbled
that stuff. Or back in the when you're talking about the Wild West, like LimeWire and Kazaa, yep. And whatnot,
yeah,
it was like so many songs were attributed to the wrong artists, yes. And stuff too, and
I'm pretty sure to this day I still think the artists are like songs are by a different artist because of the way that I download. It's not a mix CD I made for myself and I wrote it on there, and that's just how it has to be. Sorry.
In Michelle's world, Guns N' Roses recorded "Every Rose Has Its Thorn" because that's just what it says on LimeWire.
Did they not? Yep.
They did not. In fact, record that song. But yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't even think about bringing this up. So one thing I did around then, in that era you're talking about, Garrett, like Kazaa, LimeWire, that type of stuff, mm-hmm. is for me, because this will come as a giant shock, but I've always owned like extensive music collections. So when that started, I wasn't like, oh, I can finally get all these albums. Like I already owned them, you know, but yeah. It opened the door to finding like all sorts of alternative versions and remixes and live versions of stuff that I'd never found before.
Oh yeah.
So when I was making people mix CDs, I was like, hey, you like Matchbox 20 and No Doubt and all that stuff? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I'll make you a CD of their stuff. And then I'd give them like No Doubt covering the Beatles or Matchbox 20 covering Cyndi Lauper or stuff like that I found on there. That was amazing, you know? And so it was like, I wasn't even giving people full regular versions of songs. I was just giving them these like wild different things that I found on there, you know.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There was like it's like I'm in a time machine now. I remember finding No Doubt doing Obla Di Bla Da by the Beatles, and it was great, like a great version of it. And then Matchbox 20 doing Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper, like I found that. Okay. If I put that on one mix CD, I put it on like, you know, 20.
So
that's a good version.
It is a good version. So Garrett, now you were alluding to earlier too, the purpose for you was your purpose was some 50-50. You'd say sometimes you were just giving music to people to say, hey, you should hear this, and sometimes it was I would like to spend some quality time with this young lady, so I'm going to woo her with this art.
Sort of. So all of my CD making was basically just to like pass out to friends at school, like, you know, between just regular mixes or like, because the Tony Hawk games came out at that point. So I just made soundtracks for those and put them on CD. The only time I ever did something like romantic with it, and this is fun. My wife at the time, she had one of those Talk Boys from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I went and bought a blank cassette tape from Walmart and recorded a bunch of her like favorite songs into that thing and gave it to her as like an anniversary present or something. So I did make a mixtape, but it was, you know, well into marriage at that point.
I was going to say that you had already accomplished your goal at that point.
Yes, goal was completed. It was just like a little, you know, kudos or brownie points at that point.
That's rad, though. That's a really, really unique thing to do for something like that. So when we get into, has anyone ever made one for you? Has that ever happened for you, Garrett? Has anybody ever made you a mixed CD or tape? And was there any specific reason why?
No, nothing directly.
Aww.
Basically, at the school, aww, I was like the one who made all the CDs and no one returned the favor. And yeah, I didn't really have anybody romantically interested in me enough to be like, here's a CD that tells you how I feel about you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I hear that. I swear to God, this is true. One person ever has made me exactly one mix CD in my entire life, and I still have it. And the CD turned me on to like some great songs that I'd never heard before. Like, for example, I will tell anybody who will listen to the, what's the name of the band? Top Loader, their version of Dancing in the Moonlight. And I'd never heard their version of Dancing in the Moonlight until this woman put that on a CD, on a mix CD for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and there was a couple other songs on there too, different versions of things that I'd never heard before.
Oh, a lady friend.
It was a lady friend. And to further the point of how mistaken I was back in the day when I was just handing out music and people would be like, dude, why are you hitting on my girlfriend? I was told well after the fact that I was really dumb and that woman was hitting on me the whole time and tried to tell me with that mix CD. And I was not aware of it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I don't think you knew this person. I can take it offline and tell you in the chat or something, but I don't think it was a person that you knew. This was, geez, I don't even know what this was. No, I think this would have been right before I met you. So like way back when I was driving my stagecoach from place to place. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I would have to find out when a certain friend of mine got married. Because it's a long story, but I always associate that time in my life with that person's, my one buddy's wedding reception.
Well, if I don't know them, then I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you don't know the friend. So, and you don't know the friend, and I don't think you know the woman that was.
Oh, boy.
Like, well, actually, no. When did the Eminem show come out? Because it was right around then.
Let me put it in my internet machine.
Oh, boy.
Who's going to get it faster? I think it was 2000.
I was going to say 99 was my initial thought, but 2002.
To that,
I win.
So it was right before I met you then, Michelle. So you don't know this person because I met you in late 2003.
So I don't know anybody from your previous life. You just like shapeshifted and everyone else just perished.
Yes. You wouldn't know this person. Let me put it that way.
Fine.
So having said that, Michelle, has anyone outside of me ever made a mixed CD for you? Because I feel like the instant answer is yes. And then I go, who and why? And you're gonna be like, you and for this reason. So.
Yeah, so you made mixtapes for me, mostly because you just wanted me to hear stuff, forcing me. I'm just kidding. Most of it, I think, was on request. You've made me mixtapes.
Oh, for, yeah.
Does it count if I was like make a mixtape for like a situation?
Yeah, if I did the work. Hell yeah, it counts if I did the work.
I mean, like you made a mixtape for my wedding reception.
Oh, I didn't make a mixtape, my friend. I made a mixed box set, goddammit. I did.
You made several mix CDs for all of our trips to Vegas.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I used to power everybody's trip
I've
to
also
Vegas.
Received a mix CD from an ex. And then also Jason that we used to work with at Media Play.
Oh, yes. His last name escapes me right now, but he, yeah. It's more important than that is I can plug his content. He has a great music blog called Color of Sound. That people should go check out and really, so, really good writings on music there. But yes, he made you one as well.
He made me one when we worked at Media Play together because we would always talk about different music that we liked. And I never knew what he was talking about. And so he made me a mixtape. I don't think it. I mean, maybe I was just being dense, but I don't think it was. It was just friendly. Like it was like,
no,
hey,
I think
I want.
Jason's a really good guy. Like,
no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying maybe I just thought he was just being friendly and he was trying like your situation, but no. I don't think it was that because I was like 18, so right. Like, that would be anyways, but I actually still I found it in my CD book like a couple years ago when my mom was cleaning out her attic and she gave it to me and it was in there and I was like, oh shit,
once again.
I still don't know any of those songs.
Our listeners can't see it, but I like that you just gestured to show us what it looks like opening a CD book. That's yeah,
this the is CD book.
I opened my CD book. I want to take a step back and say something, tell a funny story about the mix CDs that I made for your wedding. Mm-hmm. So Garrett, Michelle got married in Las Vegas and we had these limo buses, right, to take tours up and down the strip after, yeah, as the reception, right? So me being me, you know, I figure, okay, this is going to take like 7 hours. So I made like a 7 CD set of songs that, like, and everyone was, it was, I've go on this show about sequencing and track listing. And so every single song was meant to lead into the next one. And I made 2 copies of this because there were 2 limo buses, right? Mm-hmm. So before we get on, I go to both drivers and I'm like, this is gold. Like when you put this on, all you gotta do is like switch once the CD is over, switch to the next one. Like I'm gonna be drunk and partying, so like I will give you no further instruction.
But
I
assure, floor sticky.
Yeah, like this.
Oh, that sounded gross.
Oh yeah, I spilled a beer getting on the bus, to clarify. So anyway, I say to the guy, to both drivers, okay, here you go. All you gotta do is, you know, I promise you this is gonna keep the bus rocking. Everybody's gonna love this music. They're both like, okay, you got it. So they put CDs in. Our bus that I'm on is just rocking. Like everybody of all age is having a riot. Like everyone's just loving everything. Every time a song comes on, people are like, oh God, this is my shit. You know, and everybody's all having a good time. So we stop at the first stop and a good friend of Michelle and I's who was on the other bus comes up to both of us and he's like, hey, can we get on your bus? You guys are having a lot better time with music. And we can see you guys back there like having a lot more fun on your bus. And I was like, I gave the driver the exact same set of CDs. You guys should have the same music on your bus that we have on our bus. And he's like, yeah, we did. But then somebody on our bus made the driver switch to their Bob Seger CD. And that's all we're listening to now.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I did not fight in the mixed CD wars for you to just put on Bob Seger.
Ah, that was a good time.
Yeah. So it cracked me up, though, that there was a whole person from another bus that was like, can I come be with you guys?
Cause yeah.
Because you guys are having more fun with the music.
Love that. That's awesome.
I thought that was great. So, Michelle, the mix CDs that have been made for you have been made for a variety of reasons.
From several suitors.
Several suitors.
Such a long line. Such a long and illustrious line.
What is that line?
Just rub it in, Michelle.
From Easy A,
yeah.
A gentleman caller, hooray!
Yes.
Oh, happy day, mama! So, go ahead, Michelle.
I was going to say I think it's all from men, but that's not true. I've gotten some from women too. Just
now, okay, did they want to get with you?
I don't know. Maybe I just am not seeing it.
It's all confusing now.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, I literally do know that like a year after the one mix CD was made for me, somebody was like, why didn't you ever like, you know, get with her? And I was like, because I don't think she's interested. And they're like, dude, that's why she made you that CD. And I was like, and now when I look back, I still have it. Whenever I look back at the track listing, I'm like, oh yeah, those songs are hitting on me. Moron.
Is it like Marvin Gaye and just like just all these?
Yeah, it's what let's get it on. I'm like, what does she mean?
I'm very curious what all the songs are now at this point.
I'll have to look it up. The one I always remember is the Dancing in the Moonlight, that cover, because I'd never heard it before that, and it's like my go-to version since then. But I'll bust it out and take a look at all what's on there. But yeah, it's
okay.
I feel like if I post the track listing, which maybe I'll look it up and post the track listing on Twitter or something, I feel like most people are going to be like, dude, really?
Yeah, I think we all need to hear this now.
Yeah. Okay, so when we move on to our last point, and you're never going to believe this, but I have hard and fast opinions on this last question. And I'm gonna throw it over to Garrett first. Do you think playlists should count as a, quote, mixtape or a mixed CD?
You know, when I was coming up with my answer for this, I was very back and forth with it, and here's what I came up with. I said yes, but only because the way that we consume audio has changed so drastically in the last 10 years. It doesn't quite feel the same, is because, I mean, it really is so easy to just like be, because I use YouTube Music. I could be listening to something and be like, oh, that sounds cool, and I just hit a plus button and hit another button and it's in a playlist and it's done with.
Right.
Whereas like back when I was making the mix CDs and stuff, I was kind of like you, whereas like lining all the tracks up so they had a flow, they had good track listing and things like that. And you really don't, I feel like most people don't focus on that when they're building a playlist. So you're missing that crucial element of making a mix CD or a mixtape. You know, there's not a lot of thought into it. It's just blah, blah, and then on to the next one.
Yeah. Not only that, but the scourge of streaming for me, if you were going to take the time to put together a playlist for somebody in the fashion of a mix CD where, like you're saying, Garrett, like, okay, this song should come after that one, you know, and so on. The scourge of that industry is the damn shuffle button. Because you know somebody's going to hit shuffle on that shit, and it's not going to matter what order you put whatever in anyways, you know?
Yep.
That's me.
That is you. Dad, that's you. I was talking about you the whole time. So I would now
like a good shuffle.
Now here's the point I will concede on, because as you might imagine, my answer on this is absolutely not.
Yeah.
A playlist does not. However,
you're wrong.
I will concede your point. Michelle, you'll have your word in a minute. No, here's my thing. I will concede, Garrett, though, that you're right. That like we listen to music. Like if I made a quote mix CD for somebody and sent it to them or in the mail or handed, they'd be like, how do I even play this?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like most people don't.
I have a CD player in my car.
Of course don't you worry. Do. So most people, though, would not even have access to play a CD. Right. So I concede on that point. However, I would say, and tell me if I'm wrong on this analogy, I feel like if you were to go through the effort of making a mix CD for someone, that would be like handwriting a letter to someone instead of sending them an email to say thank you for something.
No, I think that equates pretty well.
Except they could open the envelope and read the letter, whereas if they open the CD, they'd be like, how do I play this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what I could do is make a playlist for somebody, give it to them, and then say, a lot of time and energy was put into this. Please don't hit shuffle. You know, it's like the only thing I could do. And then
everyone as designed.
Yeah. Everyone but Michelle would comply.
Didn't I read somewhere where Spotify turned off like shuffle on some stuff?
Something? Spotify, because of Adele has the stroke to get something like that done. What Spotify did was they turned off the ability to have an album, a pre-existing album automatically shuffle. So like if you have your Spotify settings to where like whatever you play is gonna shuffle no matter what, because of Adele, when you start an album now, if you start it at the top, Spotify will auto turn off shuffle, because the way the Lord intended is for the record to be heard the way it was with the sequencing that it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
Michelle, so you would say, of course, playlists count.
I think that a playlist can be curated for a person and that would count. But I think that like, so Kyle and I have a running playlist of things. And then like, I know Russ and I haven't touched it in years, but we have a running playlist of things that we need to hear. Like, here's a new song. You should check this out. I don't think that that is the same thing. That is just like, here's some jams that you might like back and forth. It's like a community effort. But I think that if I were to sit down and like pick 10 of those songs and then burn it on a CD and give it to you, then yes, like it's from that playlist. And instead of just burning it,
if I'm hearing you right, you're saying the way it is done could be, for example, you and I have that shared playlist, right?
Yes.
Okay. But what you're saying is that doesn't count. But if you said, I'm going to put these songs together specifically because I think it'll whatever cheer Russ up or whatever, you're going to put them together and you're going to send me a link to it.
Our playlist, and I take those and put them into a sub playlist, or I take them off and I think that would be considered.
Okay.
Same thing.
Now you know in advance though, that would require you to be considerate of others' feelings.
Oh, I didn't say I'm going to do it.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, Garrett, did you have something to interject on this? I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, that was, I mean, I'm in agreement with what we're saying. I mean, there definitely is a fine line with just where we're at in our society. Like you said, like hardly any new vehicles, I feel like, don't have CD players, or people don't have access to that. And just
you drive new vehicles.
Oh, I don't. I have a CD player. I don't even have like an aux capability in mine. Mine's CD player or radio tuner if I want to listen.
Wow. Do you have to actually tune the dials? Like,
no, I got buttons. I got buttons. It's not a jalopy, but it's old. But no, I mean, it's definitely, I think Michelle kind of nailed it with like, it depends on your intent. If you're just, like you said, making a playlist and just throwing shit on there to listen to, then that's what that is. But yeah, if you're going through the extra effort to curate it and put it in a thing, then that's where that comes in. So
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to do personally in life is I'm going to go back to mixtapes and just start sending them to people randomly. And then they'll just have to go through all the effort to listen to it, like buy a cassette player or whatnot.
I mean, people bought, you know, record players for records when those came back. Oh, so yeah. Why not bring tapes back?
What, my old car had a tape player.
Which one?
The Little Saber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure did.
Oh, I was gonna say I had a van that had a tape player in it. I remember going to like thrift stores and just buying old shitty tapes and listening to those in there just to check them out. So that's rad. I mean, there's still stuff out there that you can listen to them on.
I have a friend of mine
tape thing that had the aux cord that I plugged in my phone.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine that will go to Goodwill and look through cassettes because a lot of like mixtapes people have made for people just end up in the racks at that get donated to Goodwill. Mm-hmm. So he'll like go and find old mixtapes people made for other people and listen to those. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, that is pretty rad. And Michelle, for car, the reason why I asked, I wasn't sure if you were going all the way back to the Mazda or the Cavalier or something. So
yep, both of those had cassette players too.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So as far as CDs, mix CDs and mixtapes go, it's our fault for changing with the times as far as technology.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
100%.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think this has been as fun of a discussion as I wanted to have about this. And I think it's a really cool topic to think through and why. And actually, Garrett, yeah, I was ready to pretty much fight to death about there's no way that a playlist would count ever. And then you immediately came out of the park swinging with me being like, oh, yep, in that instance, it would.
Yeah, I'm surprised it made it this far into the show without this being a topic of discussion, you know, honestly, because this is such a big thing for music. I'm surprised it waited till the last season. But
well, I think it was fine. It was one of those things where when I was putting together the topics for the last season, I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we absolutely have to do that because we keep putting it off.
Sure.
So, yeah. And I'm glad that you got it, too, because you got in on made me think of it a whole different way right off the top, Michelle, I will be the first to admit this. And Michelle knows this deep down in her heart that if that had come out of Michelle's mouth, I would still be arguing with her about it. Whereas when you said it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Come at me.
But you know that, Michelle, if you had said that, I'd be like, no, you're wrong.
I know. That's your favorite thing.
It is my. It is. It really
I did prove
is.
You wrong today earlier, though. So
when did you prove me wrong today?
I'm just saying, six cards in blackjack wins.
Good golly, Miss Molly. Will you talk about that more on your next podcast where you talk about Las Vegas and forget things about that?
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. Having said that, we're going to wrap things up here. This first of the last season of the Infectious Groove podcast. One more time, Garrett, before we get out of here, if people go, which they should, and search for Ever Trending Story Podcast, what is it they're going to find?
They are going to find a podcast where myself and my wonderful co-host, Frankie, peruse the news and we find topics and news articles and things of that sort. And we take keywords from those said articles and we spin them into a fun fictional story using a randomized genre that gets picked for us every time we write a story. It's a great time had by all, so come join us and check us out. We'd love to have you along.
Definitely, please do go check out Garrett's podcast, the Ever Trending Story Podcast. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us yet again on the show. We had a great time with you last time. I will say though, maybe it's because we're absent Frankie this time, but no Kids Bop mentioned this time.
No Kids Bop. Yeah.
You never know. As Zoe gets older, there's always a chance that's going to be Michelle's Jamie Jams. But
oh, it will be.
It will be eventually. Sure. Next week on the program, our old friend Seth is coming to stop by the program, and he is really excited about this episode because it is going to be a cover battle, and it is going to be the song The Man Who Sold the World. The cover, an extremely popular version, being done by one of Seth's all-time favorites, Nirvana, and the original being done by many people's favorite, David Bowie. So I think this is going to make for one of those good battles where it's not just going to be like, oh, yep, we both agree on this one and here's why. I think it's going to be something that needs to be thought about and talked through and discussed, which is what we're going to be here for. That is coming up next week. This whole season, we have a all-star parade of some of our favorite people in podcasting that are going to be joining us. And as she always does, Michelle, you will be going through the trouble of bestowing your presence upon everybody every other episode, correct?
Yes.
That's just what a giving spirit you are.
I know.
Like we always say right about this time, without music, life would be a mistake. Bye.
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 The Infectious Groove Podcast is hosted by Russ Robinson, Kyle Wimple, and Michelle Kosolecki. Produced and edited by Russ Robinson. Intro and outro music composed by Chris Kimmel. Recorded with a Rode Podcaster Pro and Rode Pod Mics.